A paraplegic man from the Boston area can operate a computer and other devices using only his thoughts. Scientists made this possible last summer. They surgically implanted electrodes in his brain. Science writer David Ewing Duncan visited the patient after his treatment and came away wondering how far we should go in fusing minds with machines.
This is the sound of a brain talking, a chorus of millions of neurons firing. Then comes a distinctive pop. That's a single neuron sending an electrical signal that tells the nervous system to do something, to wink, wiggle a toe, or move a cursor on a computer screen. This particular brain belongs to a 25-year-old bearded man living south of Boston, Matt Nagel, a former high school football star and the victim of a stabbing 3.5 years ago. He's paralyzed from the neck down.
Okay, I'm going to start from the beginning again.
You don't move that.
And we're going to do the one-minute segments.
Miriam Saleh is one of the technicians that visit Matt Nagel 2 or 3 times a week, bringing a cart packed with computers and monitors. She plugs her machine through wires into electrodes surgically implanted under the skull, inside Matt's brain.
What I'm looking at is a bunch of squiggly lines on a screen.
Yes.
And these are the actual electrical signals coming from Matt's brain?
From each electrode.
And that's happening right now?
Yes.
Matt stares at another monitor and thinks about moving a cursor. Thoughts that activate certain neurons that then fire off electrical spikes. The computer decodes and translates these spikes into commands that allow Matt to send emails or, say, to change the channel on a television set. Matt's not having a great day. He tries and fails to move the cursor to the volume control for his TV.
Volume down. So tough, man. I can get the channels. The channels are fine. The volume up and the volume down.
On other days, Matt does control his television and uses thought to play simple computer games like Pong. Yesterday, he controlled a robotic arm.
With just using my thoughts, when I wanted to go left, it would go left, and when I wanted to go right, it'd go right.
Matt Nagel is not the first human to use what's called a brain-machine interface. Back in 1998, neuroscientist Philip Kennedy implanted 5 terminally ill patients with much simpler electrodes, but they could only move a cursor up and down. Nagel's device is far more complex, with 100 electrodes on a tiny chip. Different implants have helped thousands of patients with epilepsy and Parkinson's disease, and implants have helped the deaf to hear. So clearly, the age of neurocyborgs has begun. This is good news for Matt Nagel and other patients, but it also introduces a chilling possibility that used to be in the realm of fiction.
It raises ethical concerns because it's a question of when do we stop being human and when are we, you know, more machine than we are human.
This misgiving comes from the very person who created Matt Nagel's thought machine, Brown University neuroscientist John Donahue. He's one of several brain researchers working on translating thought into action in machines, mostly in monkeys and mice.
You've seen The Matrix. You know, we're a little bit closer to the potential to have something where we're more attached to a virtual world than a real world. And if we're advancing and advancing in medicine, we're going to continue to face those things, and we need to be responsible.
Donahue co-founded CyberKinetics, the company developing and testing Matt Nagel's device. In 2004, the Food and Drug Administration approved this test for Matt and 4 other quadriplegics not yet signed up. Critics worry that the crude capabilities of this gadget is not worth the risks of surgery and infection. But neuropioneer Matt Nagel has no qualms.
I was sitting in my room 7 days a week, not doing anything. This got presented to me and I took it.
The ultimate question is, will this research lead to deciphering consciousness, to reducing the complexity of humanity to mere software inside our brains? Donahue says no.
The principles by which how the brain even comes to consciousness someday was probably likely to be understood. But the way your consciousness works, it's so specific to each individual that you'll never understand for the particular individual how all those things came together.
Matt Nagel is far less concerned about thought control or unraveling consciousness than the prospect of one day moving around his wheelchair by merely thinking or being able to pick up a tuna fish sandwich. Matt's implant must be removed after 1 year, according to the FDA, He'll be eligible for future implants, but he's not sure he wants to continue with the current technology.
Well, in the beginning, I was, you know, hoping that I could do this, and that within a couple months, maybe they could put something on my arms to make my arms move, etc., etc.
It's this powerful and very human sentiment that's propelling all of us into this fledgling cybernetic age. But I wonder, is there a part of the brain that will fire up to tell us when this potent new technology might cross over from something wonderful to a place better left to the imagination?
David Ewing Duncan is a science writer and the author of the upcoming book, The Geneticist Who Played Hoops with My DNA and Other Masterminds from the Frontiers of Biotech.